Well, we are wrapping up today this worship series called The Ultimate Exodus. We've been working our way through the story of the Exodus, and to get into it, I got a question I'd like to ask you, and I'm quite confident you know the answer to that question. As good Midwesterners, when you're asked, how are you doing, how are you supposed to respond? I'm fine. Oh, you are all good Midwesterners. Huh? And what's interesting about that question and that answer, I'm fine, is what I'm finding is that more and more, even we good Midwesterners, when we're asked, how are you doing, more and more I find that even Midwesterners have a little different answer that they're giving to that question. More and more, I'm hearing, rather than I'm fine, when asked, how are you doing, I'm hearing people say, actually, we're busy. We're busy. Oh, man, every weekend we're gone. We're going to family event here. I've got this work thing over here. I've been at this tournament over here. Every night of the week, we've got something on our calendar. Good golly, I've got this phone that connects me to my friends, it connects me to my family, it connects me to work, and I can't shut it off. I can't remember the last time I had a meal with my family. How am I doing? We're busy. Have you ever heard people say that? I hear that more and more. We got this fast-paced life that we're living, kind of a rat race, and I wonder how life got that way. If it's not you, you know it's your kids and you know it's your grandkids. How did we get this way? Because I remember when I was a kid, I'd come home from school. Maybe you have memories like this. And I'd go to the cookie jar. We had this big old cookie jar. I'd grab some cookies and I'd have some milk. And then I'd do something that seems absolutely crazy today. It seems very foreign to my kids. Are you ready for this? I'd go outside and play. I'd go outside and play. We'd get all our buddies together in our yard and we'd play. Do you remember yard games? We'd play kick the can. Nobody plays kick the can anymore. We'd play sardines. Do you remember that game? Sardines? Or we'd just get our buddies together and somebody would bring a wiffle ball and a wiffle bat and we'd pick teams. We didn't have a coach. We didn't have an umpire. We didn't have jerseys. We just play wiffle ball in the backyard. And you know what? It was actually fun. And then in the winter, we'd go to the city park where there was a skating rink. And we'd play hockey. We just picked teams. No jerseys. We didn't have traveling teams. It was just us hanging out. We even let wrestlers and basketball players play. Huh? And it was just for fun. And here's the sad thing about all of this. My kids have no idea what that's like. Because we're just too busy. We're too busy. And so I wonder, how did it get this way? How did it get this way? Well, when I was a kid, my parents, when they talked to other parents about their kids, they'd say things like this. I think I've got a slide here. They'd say things like, we've just got to keep them busy. Admit it, you're in church. How many of you have said that before? I've certainly said that about my kids. We got to keep them busy. And I wonder where that came from. Like, where did we learn that if we just keep our kids busy, it's going to keep them out of what? Trouble, right? We learned that somewhere. Like, if we just keep them moving, if we keep them in motion, they're not going to hang out with the wrong kids. We learned somewhere along the way, if we can keep them being productive, keep them doing stuff, they're going to stay on the straight and narrow. Isn't that interesting? Religious people also have weird things they say about how we use our time. My grandma was uber religious, and my grandma would say some funny things that would seem kind of weird sometimes. In fact, she would say this. I'm going to try and say it in my grandma's voice. Idle hands are the devil's tools, Hans. Have you ever heard that phrase before? Right? What does that mean, Grandma? Right? It seems to suggest that somehow if we're not moving forward, if we're not being productive, if we're not accomplishing something, somehow God's not happy with us, I think. There's also this thing going on in our world. It's a new word. It's this word, FOMO. Have you heard this word before? It sounds naughty, but it's not. It actually stands for this, the fear of missing out. It's in the dictionary, in the new dictionary, FOMO. It's the fear of missing out. In our world today, I think we have this fear that there's something going on. There's something that's really important that's going on, and I'm missing out on it. There's something I should have my kids involved in, some camp or some training or some once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that's going to get them into Harvard or whatever it might be, and we're missing out on that. And it doesn't help that as adults we've got this thing called social media, and so we pull up every day what everybody else is doing. Oh, did you see the Andersons? They're moving. Honey, maybe we should move too. All the Andersons, the Johnsons are going to this event. Maybe we should be going to that event. The other day, I told my wife, I said, look at this picture. My buddy, he got a green egg. Do you know what a green egg is? Right? It's this cool, fancy grill. It's really expensive. I said, honey, look at that beautiful brisket he made on his green egg. Maybe we need one of those. She doesn't have as much FOMO as I do. Right? You know, maybe this has something to do with why we're always busy. And I can see the look in some of your faces. You're going, okay, I'm not a parent anymore. I've never been a parent. This is something you parents, you young kids got going on. But here's the deal. If I had a dollar for every time a retiree said to me, Pastor, I'm more busy now than when I was working. Do you know I would be a rich man? Pastor, I don't know how I had time for work. Huh? Yeah, you're visiting grandkids. You're serving on committees. You're going to classes. You're working out at the Y. You're going on vacations. Did I mention the grandkids? You're spending time with grand. You're doing all these things. How do we get so busy? It's crazy. Here's what I think. In our world today, we've got a new addiction. And it's more prevalent than alcoholism. It's more prevalent than drug use. It's more prevalent than gambling. And it's an addiction to busyness. It's an addiction to always being on the go. And here's what's scary about it. I think most of us, we don't know how to get off the busy bus. We get up in the morning, we get on this busy bus because everybody else is getting on the busy bus, and we think that there's a light at the end of the tunnel. But the reality is that busy bus just keeps going, and we say, bus driver, get us going faster. And the bus driver goes faster. And we know we should get off the busy bus, but we don't have any idea how to do it. Because here's the reality, we can't imagine a life any different. We can't imagine going to our kids, for example, and saying, you know what, I don't think you should be involved in as many activities. We can't imagine going to our boss at work and saying, you know what, I've worked enough. 40 hours is enough. We can't imagine going to our family and saying, no, I'm not going to go to that birthday party. I've been to one too many. Like, we can't imagine that. We can't imagine a life any different. And here's the thing you need to know for today. In the story of the Exodus, God's people, as they were leaving Egypt, they experienced the very same thing. They looked back to Egypt and they wanted to go back because they couldn't imagine anything different. If you've been around the last few weeks, we've been talking about this story of the Exodus. It goes like this. God's people, the Israelites, found themselves in Egypt. And there in Egypt, a new Pharaoh came to power, and this Pharaoh was an evil and brutal guy. In fact, the Bible says this. It says, so they put slave masters over the Israelites. The Pharaoh hated those Israelites so much that he made them slaves. Put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor. And they built Pithom and Ramses as store cities for Pharaoh. Pharaoh forced them to make bricks to build these great buildings. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied. The Israelites had children. They multiplied and they spread. So the Egyptians, they hated them even more. They came to dread the Israelites and they worked them ruthlessly. It says they made their lives bitter with harsh labor and brick and mortar and with all kinds of work in the field. In all their harsh labor, the Egyptians worked them ruthlessly. But here's the deal. The story says that God didn't forget God's people. God raised up a leader. His name was Moses. And Moses, God would use to lead God's people out of slavery to freedom. But there's something about the story that you need to know. The entire time Moses was leading God's people out of Egypt, through the Red Sea, across the desert, do you know what God's people were doing? They were whining. They were grumbling. They were complaining. Moses, this stinks out here. Why did you lead us out here? Did you lead us out here to die? They kept looking back at Egypt, and they actually said to Moses, Moses, life was better back in Egypt, back where we were slaves. You know why they said that? Because they couldn't imagine anything else. They couldn't imagine a different sort of life. So what did God do? Well, God, again, didn't forget God's people. God was leading Moses through the desert, and they came to a mountain. We call it Mount Sinai. And if you learned in Sunday school about Mount Sinai, you learned that Moses went up Mount Sinai, and there Moses received the Ten Commandments. I don't know about you, but when I was a little Sunday school kid, I learned that the Ten Commandments were rules. They were restrictions. They were God's demands. You can screw around a little bit, but don't mess with these ten rules, right? Do these or God's going to get you. That's how I learned it. But here's the deal. The Ten Commandments weren't meant to be that at all. In fact, the Ten Commandments were actually God's response to God's people who had been slaves. And as they were traveling out of slavery, they kept looking back and saying, we can't imagine anything other than what we've had. And so, for example, you go to the first commandment. Let's read that. It says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. At the very beginning of those Ten Commandments, God reminds God's people, hey, remember you were slaves and I led you out. And then he says these words. This is interesting. Listen to this. You shall have no other gods before me. Now, when I learned this in Sunday school, I learned this was God's demand. You better not worship anyone else. You better not worship your wealth. You better not worship Buddha or Muhammad or whatever. God is a jealous God who demands you worship me and only me. And here's what I believe. God wants us to worship God, but that's not what God was saying. You see, this was God's response to a group of people that had been slaves. And when you're a slave to Pharaoh, Pharaoh demands your loyalty. Pharaoh demands your pledge of allegiance. Pharaoh demands you call him God. And he's a God for whom you've never done enough. You are never enough. You've never completed your tasks. God comes along and says, whoa, you never again need to pledge your allegiance to that guy. He's no longer your God. You don't owe him anything. You don't owe him work. You don't owe him your allegiance. You don't owe him your loyalty. From now on, I'm enough. I'm enough. Could you imagine the freedom they experienced in that? And this is how all the commandments are. From the very beginning to the end, they're all meant to be words of freedom to these people who had been slaves. If you go down to about the fourth commandment, the fourth commandment reads like this. It says, observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do no work. Now, growing up, I learned in our household that this commandment was all about what day? Sunday. Sunday, my grandma would say, is the Lord's day, she would say. And I learned around our house that it was, you know, what this commandment really meant was, thou shalt not shop on Sunday. Anybody else learn that? Or, thou shalt not play sports on Sunday. Or, thou shalt not work on Sunday, unless you're working at the restaurant our family goes to after church on Sunday. In our conservative house, we learned thou shalt not drink on Sunday. Thou shalt not see movies on Sunday. Thou shalt not play with friends on Sunday. Thou shalt not have any fun on Sunday. I never understood as a kid why God wanted us to be so bored on Sundays. Pastors occasionally get together and they bemoan the fact that Sunday is sort of this corrupt day and we've lost our values. And they complain about how parents choose to take their kids to tournaments, t-ball tournaments and soccer tournaments instead of going to church on Sunday. Here's the deal. This commandment isn't about any of that. Any of that at all. Put yourselves in the shoes of those slaves. They had spent their entire lives working from morning till night, 7 days a week for Pharaoh. Pharaoh, who looked at them and said, "You've never, ever done enough." He'd beat them when they were less productive than they should be. He'd mock them when they'd be working too slow. And lo and behold, God comes along and says, "It's okay to stop. It's okay to rest. 6 days is enough. It's going to be okay if you take a day and just rest." I mean, imagine what that was like for those former slaves to have this God who looks at them and says, "You've done enough." The commandment goes on. It says this: "The seventh day is the Sabbath day to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. Neither you," I love this, he just goes on and on, "neither you nor your son or your daughter nor your male or your female slave, even your ox, your donkey, any of your animals, your dog, your cat, your fish, nor any foreigner residing in your town, so that your male and your female servants may also rest as you do. Remember that you were
slaves.
And that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day." When God said rest, nobody could believe it. This was unparalleled in that world. In that world, your status as someone, as an elite person in society, was shown to everybody else by how little you were. Pharaoh sat in his throne. Everybody worked for him. If you were a peasant or a slave, you worked 24 hours a day. God was saying, rest. While Pharaoh rested, everybody else worked. But God said, "I want you to rest because I too rested on the seventh day." God said, rest. You see, Pharaoh demanded work, while God insisted on rest. Pharaoh said, "You've never done enough," while God said, "It's enough." Pharaoh said, "We need more bricks." God said, "We've got enough bricks." Pharaoh said, "We've got to keep them busy." But God said, "It's okay to stop." Folks, in our world today, aren't we kind of slaves when it comes to our busyness? We're slaves sometimes. Slaves, by definition, are people who can't stop working, who believe they've never, ever done enough for their master. And here's what is crazy. We've kind of become our own taskmasters, our own slave drivers, our own pharaohs, telling ourselves we've never, ever done enough. And to people like you, God gives us what's called Sabbath. The word is Hebrew. It just simply means rest. God looks at you and says, you've done enough. If you hear nothing else today, I hope you hear this phrase. Busy was never God's dream for your life. You know that? Like, I think that sounds weird to some of us. Like, busy was never God's dream for your life. God never intended you to be a slave. And I look at some of you and you're going, "Yeah, that's really great, but I'm on the busy bus. I don't know how to get off. What do I do?" Here's what I want to say. I have no idea what you should do. But here's what I know. In our family, we're working really hard at this because we've realized that we're on the busy bus and that busy was never God's dream for us. And so over the last year, we've tried to do a few things to adjust. And here's an example. It might sound kind of goofy, but Friday nights, we do Friday Family Fun Night at our house. And as often as we can, we block that night off on the calendar. We don't program anything. We don't do anything. We just say it's our date night as a family. And instead of going out, we stay at home. And we do something very strange. We play games together. Sometimes we watch a movie together. We cook a meal together. We just try and be family together at home because we're trying to live into this. Busy was never God's dream for our lives. We've got these things called cell phones that connect us 24/7. We as parents have said we don't want our kids to see us always connected all the time. So we don't do very well at this, but at times we try and put that phone away. I read about a family who built a box at their house. They call it their tech box, and they put it in the closet. And when they get home each day from work, they take their cell phone and they put it in that box. And they leave it there until after the kids have gone to bed. And as they talked about it, they said, we want to focus every night on what's most important in our lives. That's our kids. That's our spouse. You see, busy was never God's dream for your life. I think the other thing we can all do is celebrate this. JOMO, right? We talked about FOMO. What about JOMO? JOMO is this. The joy of missing out, huh? Woo! How about that? Feeling content with staying in and disconnecting. I think some of us can't imagine that. But here's what you know. Busy was never God's dream for your life. Folks, 5 weeks ago, we started this series with a simple question, and it was this question. What's God's freedom freeing you from? You see, Pharaoh had a hold on those Israelites in slavery. And you know as well as I do, there are things in our lives that have a hold on us. There are losses. There are voices. There are criticisms. There's our quest for affluence, our busyness. What's God's freedom freeing you from? Because here's what I believe. If you've heard nothing, if you fell asleep every Sunday and heard nothing, hear this. God wants to free you from all of that. And so we're going to end where we began. With this simple question, what's God's freedom freeing you from? Let me pray for you, folks. Gracious God, you know that just like Pharaoh had a hold on those Israelites, there are things in our lives that have a hold on us. There are voices from our past. There's our busyness, quest for affluence, all kinds of things. So God, give us freedom. God, you know that many of us are enslaved to our crazy, wild schedules. God, tell us, like you did those Israelites, it's okay to rest. Give us that gift that we might know the life you want for every last one of us. Thank you for the gift of freedom. We pray this all in your name, and all God's people said. Amen.